national media who are on the call today, and I want to welcome them to this call and let them know that later in the call we have some exciting news that we will announce that I'm sure you will be interested in. I say this kind of every time we get on these, that it's a really, really exciting time for NXT, and certainly today is no different, as we're about to, you know, have the first NXT TakeOver Network special as a part of the WrestleMania week. It was just a few weeks ago, it was brought to my attention as we were getting ready to go into the week around, based around the Arnold Classic that NXT was at, where it dawned on me that we were doing Columbus again, and it was just a year prior to that that we were in Columbus for the first time, and that was our first kind of trip outside of the Florida area for NXT, and we tentatively started to look into national touring, and it expanded very rapidly. And when you look at this year's TakeOver this Friday as part of WrestleMania week, a year ago in San Jose, the show that we did there, and it was just a live event, non-televised, and it's just grown. The brand has grown exponentially. It's just a massive amount in 1 year. It's huge, and I'm very excited about that and look forward to continuing to see it grow. Anxious to have this call next year and see where we're at as we head into WrestleMania next year. Should be amazing. So just a reminder that the show itself, there is a 9:30 Eastern pre-show, and the show itself is later than usual, and we'll start at 10 p.m. Eastern time, a little bit of a later start, and it's going to be an amazing show. You know, we have a ton of talent on it, just a massive card, starting out with Austin Aries, Baron Corbin, which I think Aries' debut is going to be very exciting to fans. I think they will have a phenomenal match. I think Baron has really come into his own in the last bit, and it's going to be a very exciting match. Sami Zayn, and one of the most exciting things on the card is going to be the debut of Shinsuke Nakamura. Huge fan of Nakamura, have been for a long time. Really excited to see him coming into NXT. Excited to see what he can do in the WWE. And Sami Zayn just always continues to wow people. The NXT Tag Team Championships between The Revival and American Alpha to meet two of the best tag teams in the world, bar none right now. That will be exciting. A match I've been looking for since the day Asuka got here is Asuka versus Bayley for the NXT Women's Championship. Completely different styles, Bayley becoming just this consummate champion and Asuka just this... just a destroyer, as I don't know of any other way to put it with her. And then the rematch between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, which, if you saw London, I can't wait for that to take place. So it's an exciting time for NXT. In addition to that, before we open this up to questions, I want to talk really quickly about the Global Cruiserweight Series that will be coming up a little bit later this year. We're very excited about this tournament. There's great buzz around it already. I think that you see some of the things that we're doing outside of our environment with Evolve and Progress, Rev Pro. It's just an exciting time. It opens up to a lot of great things. And I just wanted to kind of give you a flavor today of some of the people that will be participating in the Global Cruiserweight Series as we move forward. We will have Rich Swann, who is currently part of NXT, Zack Sabre Jr. from the UK, Tommaso Ciampa. We have Noam Dar will be competing, Johnny Gargano, Ho-Ho Lun from China, which, if you're not aware, he has been competing all across Hong Kong, and he's already started to garner quite a reputation for himself. We're excited to have him as part of this. And Akira Tozawa. So, you know, it's a very diverse group. We're scouring the globe. We are looking for the absolute best to come in and being involved in this. And we'll give you more information as it comes to be. And then The last thing I wanted to talk about really quickly before we open this up to questions is that very proud to say that NXT in June is going to embark on another tour of the United Kingdom. We'll start off June 10th through 12th at the Download Festival, which is just an amazing music festival in the UK, hundreds of thousands of people. We will go through the UK after that, through Belfast, Dublin, Liverpool, Bournemouth, and Plymouth. So it's going to be a very exciting UK tour that I think will continue to showcase what NXT does amazingly well. And that's really it. It's an exciting time. So I will open it up to you.
All right, guys, since we have a tight timeline, we're going to keep it to one question and one follow-up per outlet. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to signal. We'll go first to Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Mike, what do you line up like the week before? How do you do that? You're like, you got an in? It's like a
luck ticket. Of the Irish, I guess. That's not true. But I guess I'm just lucky. First of all, thank you for doing this, because I know you have nothing else to do this weekend, so thank you for that. I'm curious, you know, with the signings of Austin Aries and Shinsuke Nakamura, it was announced they were specifically signed for NXT. I don't think anybody listening to this call is going to argue that those guys are technically main roster ready. Are we at the point now where you're signing talents specifically for the NXT brand? And if so, you know, meaning for the brand to keep them in NXT as opposed to NXT with the potential to one day go to the main roster? Or is it still an open book where if they're going to NXT, eventually the end goal is for them to get to the main roster? Because I think with Nakamura, a lot of people especially were surprised he's going to NXT as opposed to taking the route that AJ Styles did.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. First of all, to me, I dislike saying, like, main roster now and NXT. It feels like it lessens it. But, like, yeah, look, NXT is a brand into itself, and I want to present it that way. And anybody that is signed with WWE, and trust me, it's all one big thing, right? So anybody that is signed with WWE has the potential at some point in time, or any point in time, to be on Raw or SmackDown or WrestleMania, you know? And look, I'm sure that's everybody's goal that's in this industry. If it's not, I'm you know, I would be shocked. At the same point in time, NXT is this amazing brand all unto itself, and I have a lot of guys calling now saying, look, I want to be on NXT, and look, if I make it to the roster, it'd be phenomenal. If I make it to Raw, if I make it to SmackDown, but if I don't, I'd just like to be at NXT. You know, that's phenomenal, and that's amazing to me, and it's a brand unto itself. I want to treat it that way. I don't want to lose perspective of what we do, but when you start to lose perspective of the brand versus the performance center and what we're doing, as guys are coming out of the performance center and becoming ready to compete in NXT, they will. As they're ready to go to Raw, SmackDown, they will. Look, I have... You can argue at any point in time about who's ready to go anywhere. I can argue now that there's a lot of guys in NXT and girls that if you flip the switch and made the transition, they're ready to do it. It's timing. It's what position do you need? I can't have 12 shortstops on the team, you know? The timing has to be right. The position has to be right. And there's a lot more than, you know, when you look at talent and you say, this guy's an incredible in-ring performer, and I think I've told this story on here before, but Finn Balor was an amazing in-ring performer. He had never once in his life thought about a camera or a camera position prior to coming to the WWE, and that has changed how he has viewed the business. It's a massive learning curve, and I want to make sure that everybody is as prepared as possible, because when you get to, American Airlines, Conjurino, or you get to Dallas Stadium, AT&T Stadium, and there's almost 100,000 people there, and you've got cameras everywhere, and it's got to be right. It's got to be right. And I want to make sure they're all, they have every tool possible to succeed at the highest level at all times.
All right, and just a quick follow-up on the Global Cruiserweight Series. You guys are working with a couple of different independent promotions. Outline how these relationships are going to work as far as now and going forward. Are you guys now going to be overseeing the creative of the Global Cruiserweight Series? Is that being left for the independent promotions? Are there other promotions you're going to be working with? Because I think as exciting as it is that you guys have the outreach, there's also a lot of questions left beyond the, hey, we're going to work with Revolution Pro and there's going to be Cruiserweight qualification matches. I think there's sort of a quizzical point of view that people have, like to say, all right, well, how deep do the roots of this relationship now go beyond they're going to present matches that are going to help WWE and potentially show up on the network and be used as exposition?
You know, I think we're kind of figuring a lot of that out as we go, but if I'm Progress and WWE tells me that I can have a qualifying match that I can promote to get into the Global Cruiserweight Series, and I can promote it, and we're going to promote it through our website, and we're going to put it out with our massive reach. It's a win-win for everybody. You know, I've said it before. I'm a big fan of the independent undercurrent of everything we do. I think it's very important to the health of the business, and I think these are things that help them, but also help the legitimacy and the image of what we're doing, and I think that's a great thing. It's a win-win for everyone.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Brian Fritz with Sporting News.
Hey, Paul. With the success that NXT has had, obviously with the network specials, and they've been quarterly so far, do you see a time in the near future where maybe it's more than just four times a year?
I mean, it's possible. I think anything is possible. I don't know. You know, the NXT brand grows so rapidly that if you'd have told me I'd be running this takeover 2 days before WrestleMania here last year, I don't know that. You know, it's just changed so quickly. It's hard for me to say where it would be, what we can add, what we can't add. I don't want to oversaturate the market. I like doing what we're doing now. I like the product that we're doing now. And I hear people say that all the time. That, well, why don't you make it? Why don't you make the weekly show 2 hours, or why don't you make this longer? Or the, you know, and then you get into bigger problems. So it, I'm happy with what we're doing. People like the product. That's wonderful. And if we can increase it, if we can do more, because the creatively we can't, then that's great. I think it's all in kind of in flux, and I'm just seeing where it goes and what the demand is.
A quick follow-up, too. You know, in the past, when we've seen different talent get ready to debut, many times we've seen teases and vignettes. Do you foresee a time where that's happening more and more when it comes to NXT talent, considering all the different talent that you're getting from, especially from different independent groups around the world, and also when it comes to possibly using that same kind of presentation when it comes to guys that are going to be going to the WWE roster, because it's something we've seen in the past, but we haven't seen as much as of late?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I try not to just do something, oh, this is what we do, and that's how we do it. You know, I try to just look at every talent that we're bringing in and everybody we're going to work with, and, okay, if we're going to work with this talent, how do we want to bring them in? What do we want to do with them? And kind of create that plan. And if that, like you said, is vignettes that air for 3 to 4 weeks, like you see we're doing right now with Noah Jose, and or that's a shocking moment at something, or that somebody just making an appearance or doing something else. I think we're open to all of it. But, yeah, it's all on the table.
Great. Thanks for the time.
And we'll go next to Neil Docking with Mirror Online.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good, Neil. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon. Obviously, we've had the British promotions, you know, Rev Pro and Progress Wrestling announce that they'll be hosting qualifying matches for the Global Cruiserweight Series. Progress head qualifiers will take place there at their next show in London on April the 24th. which obviously coincides with the end of the WWE Live tour in the UK and Ireland, which ends in Glasgow, I think, on April the 23rd. I'm just wondering, does that mean we can expect to see, you know, WWE personnel, maybe production teams, even yourself, at these qualifying shows?
I, to be honest, don't even know what I'm doing all day tomorrow. to be quite honest, there's too many things in the calendar for me to look that far in advance. I don't know. Maybe, you know, we're working on the relationship. We're seeing what's there. I'm not trying to take over anything that Progress is doing or Rev Pro's doing. They're doing a great job. They're doing their thing, man. And let them do it. You know, we can give them a rub. We can benefit from that rub in some way of letting people learn more about the talent that are going to be in the Global Cruiserweight Series. For me, it's putting out these talent out to a larger audience, and also those promotions. So it's not about us coming in there and, hey, WWE is going to come in here and plant a flag at Progress or something. I'm not interested in doing that at all. I'm interested.
I wasn't suggesting that that as much. Just more that, you know, would you be involved with you know, the production side of things, with these matches being on the network, these qualifying matches?
I might do a run-in and do like a hurricane round.
I look forward to seeing that. Well, I mean, are there any other promotions in the UK?
Yeah, me too, because I can't do a hurricane. So.
Are there any other promotions in the UK that you've discussed partnerships with, or, you know, in relation to this?
You know, at this point in time, we're just kind of feeling our way through it, so we'll see. It's I'm open to working with quality promotions and of a style and a quality that we like and want to do some type of business with. If I like the style and I like what they're doing, then I'm okay with working with them. So it just depends.
Yeah. I mean, just as a follow-up, you mentioned two of our, you know, outstanding talents, Zack Sabre Jr. and Noam Dar. Can you tell us at all, you know, what about them has impressed you or brought them to the table?
I think the same thing that impressed you. You know, to me, they're phenomenal talent. They're amazing in-ring athletes. It's, you know, look, I have a team that, you know, obviously Regal is a big part of, and Canyon, and that team scours the globe, and a lot of these guys are we already know about. Some of them were scouring, looking for people that we think have that potential and that, you know, is the kind of the diamond in the rough. So we're just looking for great talent. Great talent's great talent. And you know, if fans are lit up by him, then that's great.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
We'll go next to Mayor Nessing with Digital Spy.
Hi. I'm not going to tell you how sort of mad for NXT fans and how passionate they are about the brand. A lot of those fans are talking about Friday night blowing Sunday night out of the water. Being a man who wears two hats there, does that thought thrill you, or does that worry you somewhat that a lot of people are saying that the NXT Dallas bill is bigger and better than the Mania one?
Well, a lot of people say a lot of things, and look, it's all people's opinions, and I'm thrilled for it. You know, the great thing about NXT is if NXT puts on a phenomenal show on Friday night, it will light a fire under everybody that is going to compete on Sunday night, and to me, that drives people to be better. And it does it across the board. So, you know, trust me, I'm going to give them a speech about pushing Friday night before they go out there, and knowing that I'm the guy that's going to watch it and go, well, now I got to go follow that, right? So it's a double-edged sword for me, but that's phenomenal, because it's going to make everybody better. But the beautiful thing about it is, remember, you know, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, it's all WWE. And in what NXT does, it is allows us to super serve our most hardcore fans, our biggest fans, our most, you know, just passionate fans about what we do, and NXT allows us to super serve them. Raw, SmackDown, you know, we serve a very broad audience, and it appeals to various segments of the world and different populations and different age groups. It kind of covers everything. NXT allows us to super serve a very passionate fan base. And that, to me, is the best part, man. It really lets us there's a group of fans that want something specific, and we're going to give that to them, and then some.
Cool. And just another thing, the Sunday night, one of the big matches is, of course, three former, very recent NXT women, Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte. I think that match might steal the night, but it's, again, another WrestleMania where there isn't a one-on-one women's match. I mean, NXT has been obviously fantastic at over the last sort of 12, 18 months. Is it important to you that, I think the last one was WrestleMania 23, maybe even 22, depending on how you define it, that WrestleMania 33 has a one-on-one women's match?
Yeah, but I mean, I see your point statistically, but to me, I mean, yeah, it's a triple threat match, but it is all about the championship and the positioning of that. And to me, it's a very big match at WrestleMania, and the biggest platform they can have. You know, one on one or triple threat. To me, it's about the story you tell. I think that story's been told very well. I think Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte are all gonna like to you. To what you said, that's a match that has the potential to steal the show. I'm excited for them. I'm thrilled for them. I'm proud of them. And I can't wait to watch it as a fan. But, you know, I don't see that as a, well, they got a triple threat. It's not the same. But sure it is. It's a great story, and it's very passionately told by very passionate athletes who are going to go out there and give everything they have to entertain people, you know, watching WrestleMania in the biggest way possible. So I don't see that as a downplay at all.
Cool. Well, thank you. Yeah, very much looking forward to Sunday and to Friday. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Jim Versalone with Miami Herald.
You mentioned camera angles a little earlier. When someone like Aries or Nakamura make their NXT debuts, what are you wanting to see? What are you looking for them?
I'm looking for them to be the phenomenal performer that they are. You know, make no mistake about it, when you walk into the WWE, and I don't care where you came from, and this is not me bragging or bragging about the brand or anything else. When you walk into WWE coming from someplace else, and I don't care where that is, there is a difference between the production we do and any place else on the globe, and I don't care who that is. There's a learning curve. You know, when people talk about Nakamura, you know, that's a learning curve for him. It's not a learning curve of what he does in the ring. It's a learning curve of how he presents that and how the world sees that, and a style of what we do and the production that we do. And when you add to that, you know, a little bit of a language barrier and a comfort level, you know, it's a big transition for people walking in the door to go from wherever they were to WWE. It just is. And to me, having that stopgap, even if that's all it is a stopgap of NXT for a minute, but to get their feet planted firmly, to get the butterflies out, to get the everything calmed down. I mean, I see it in talent all the time. It's probably one of the most frequently said things that I say to guys and girls coming in from other places that have a lot of experience and have been a lot of other places is relax, do what you do, because they clam up and they freeze up and they don't want to do the wrong thing and they want to do it the right way. And it's just a change. It's hard to articulate, but it is. And it's a comfort level. And you want them, you know, that when you when you walk out on WWE, you walk out on Raw or SmackDown, or you walk out at WrestleMania, man, that spotlight is bright, very, very bright. And you don't get a whole lot of time before people lose interest or lose faith. And that's on any level, you know what I mean? So it's to me, it's a benefit. And I know sometimes people look at that and go like, oh, well, why are they doing that with him? He's ready to do this or that. Yeah, no, he is, but it's, trust me, it's for the right reasons. And we make those decisions are made very strategically.
With the process, the evolution of NXT growing, there have been a couple of times where you all have had two shows on one night. What is the reason behind that, and do you think we'll see more of that as it continues to grow?
You mean live event-wise?
Correct.
Yeah, yes. So, you know, the great thing with NXT is now it's grown. We have the opportunity to tour outside of Florida and all that, but what I don't want to do is just have – in order to learn how to do what we do, you have to have reps. Right, you got to go out, you got to do it in front of a live audience, and whether that's 50 people, 500 people, 5,000 people, or 50,000 people, right? You've got to do it. Every crowd is different. Every place you go is different, and that's a fact. The great thing about where we're at now with NXT is we've been able to put on shows and be in Philly or New Jersey or Chicago, and at the same point in time be running shows in Florida and give experience to talent that might not necessarily have that experience without running that second time. You know, they just wouldn't be able to get those reps. And we have enough talent now that we can give an amazing card in Chicago and still give a great card in, you know, Kissimmee with maybe a few of the matches on it, you know, are newer talent. And in Florida, a lot of our fan base loves the fact that they get to see these guys. They're watching them develop now. And they're watching them start from zero and become something. And then all of a sudden, now they're on NXT television, and now they're moving up that ladder. It's kind of they were watching the band before they even had a hit, you know? And that's an exciting thing to them, man. They're on the ground floor at what we're doing every step of the way. And, you know, it's something we've carefully monitored, but our fan base in Florida, even when we've done the shows where there's some newer talent on there that maybe they haven't seen on TV, and then the upper end of the show is filled with talent that they know, they love the shows. They love the fresh. They love the new talent. They love seeing them evolve, and it's been great. So that is definitely something we want to do, you know, on a fairly regular basis is I want to keep that opportunity for talent to get reps in front of fans.
Have fun this weekend, and thank you.
Thank you very much. You too. That's what everybody's here for, is to have fun.
We'll go next to Justin Labar with WrestleZone.com.
Hey, Paul, if we could go back to the global cruiserweight topic, would it be right for me to assume that the end goal is that there will be a champion, a cruiserweight title crowned? And if so, is that a title that would then you'd be regularly featured on NXT programming?
So the global cruiserweight series will be a kind of an event within itself. And then where it goes from there, I think, is kind of a little bit up in the air, whether that becomes a permanent cruiserweight division, whether in NXT or whether Raw, SmackDown. I'm not, we haven't kind of finalized that. You know, there's a lot of thoughts and ideas on the table that are, you know, kind of out there. Probably, I think, once we get on the other side of WrestleMania and we can sit and have some planning time a little bit, then we'll start to finalize those things. But right now, I'm hopeful that the Global Cruiserweight Series becomes an annual event, and we pull, you know, the best cruiserweight from around the globe. And one of the things I'm excited about that is just, you know, it's really easy to just look over and see Zack Sabre and go like, oh, I want him in it. You know, it's pretty easy to do. But it's different to go find talent that maybe not very many people have heard of, or to go to Brazil and find a guy that is only locally known, but when you see him, you go like, man, he's good, you know. To kind of just to kind of look in the little pockets of the world and find these talent and give them that opportunity, you know, and let them be seen globally and let them evolve and become something more and grow. And that just helps everything. It helps the business across the board. It helps them. And that's really what I'm excited about that series. And we'll see where that goes from there. If fans are really into this and it becomes hopefully more and we get back into the cruiserweights as a division, that I would love that. And I've been a big advocate of that for a long time. Whether that happens or not, we'll see how the reaction is. But I'm hoping the series continues to be at least an annual event.
Playing off of that real quick, do you know why? I mean, obviously, on Raw and SmackDown, years ago, there was a lightweight division and a lightweight title, which then went away. Do you know, was there any reason specifically why they went away? Was it to be able to fill a division with enough quality talent at its size, or do you have an answer for that?
I don't, at the time when it went away, I'm not 100% sure, I really, it's hard for me to answer that question without looking into it a little bit, but I just think things run its course over time and people maybe lose interest in it or whatever, but it's time to go back, and I think, I don't know, I'm excited about the prospect of this whole thing, the Global Cruiserweight Series, the potential of what it becomes on the other side of it is huge.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
We'll go next to Jason D'Amico with WrestleView.com.
Hello, Hunter. How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good. You got brought up about Evolve being part of the Global Cruiserweight Series, and there was a photo that showed up on social media back in January when Evolve was in Orlando, as well as WWE during Royal Rumble weekend, of yourself backstage with Gabe Sapolsky, and you were there at the event, obviously scouting for Evolve to eventually be part of the series. What was your take being at the event, seeing the Evolve, guys and gals for the first time in a live setting, and, for some of these guys that are going to be part of this tournament, obviously Zack Sabre Jr. and things like that, and your just continual thoughts on WWE and NXT's kind of continual quasi-partnership with Evolve and the World Wrestling Network?
That whole thing is exciting to me. Listen, being there that night and walking in was like a trip back in time for me, that's how I started in the business and those type of shows and seeing a lot of young, just really hungry talent working at these events and the excitement level that's there. It's just so different, and you can just, to me, there's just this palpable nervous energy that's just permeates here. I love those events and I love being seeing them when I can. Obviously, time is the consideration, and that just worked out where they were there, we were there, and I was happy that I could go by and spend a few minutes with Gabe and see it. But I love supporting that and being a part of that. And to me, as many avenues as are possible for passionate athletes and talent to find their way into our business is phenomenal. And Evolve run a very, very capable and good promotion, as does Progress, as RevPro. And that's what I like about it. It's a great place for guys to go. Get reps, like I talked about before. Get reps in front of fans and do what we do. And hopefully, have that opportunity to then become more and go beyond. And it's great. I think it's good for everybody.
Indeed. And also, one more question about the TakeOver show tomorrow night. Obviously, the big thing is Shinsuke Nakamura from New Japan making his WWE debut with NXT. What about him really stands out to you that it's going to be like, okay,
It's Nakamura just has this amazing charisma. I've said that before when people ask me, what's the first thing you look for in a talent? And you say charisma, because the other things you can teach and the charisma and that personality is really, you either have it or you don't in some ways. It's tough to teach that sometimes to people. And you can grow into it, but it's just tough. And he just has this innate charisma and this just this personality and this style. It's funny if sometimes people that have never heard of him would ask me, you know, oh, you know, tell me something about him. It's hard to describe Nakamura in a way. And you know, I always hear people say, like, hey, he's like a Michael Jackson, but mixed with Freddie Mercury. And he's like, he hits you really hard and has this intense style. It's quite tough to picture that, you know, but it works. On paper, it seems like a weird combo, but it really, really works. And that's one of those things. I just feel like he just has this charisma that, you know, when you're done watching him, you're going to go like, oh, man, I just saw something special, you know. And there are certain talent that come along like that to me that I feel that way when I watch them. He's one of them. And you know, Balor and guys like that have that that carryover where you just feel like you've seen something special when you're done watching him. And there's a difference, and he has that.
Indeed. Thank you for taking my questions, Hunter. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys. This is going to be the last caller next.
All right. We'll take our last question from Scott Fishman with Miami Herald.
Hey, Paul. When you see a lot of influx of established talent now coming in, if you could just go into the creative process and the thought process when you bring these guys in and kind of separating them from the personas maybe a little bit from what they were in other companies or other promotions, and also because – you know, there's a lot of guys who have come in now that are being able to keep their names and kind of like their likeness in a way. If you could just go into that and how that compares to what it was back then when you initially started NXT and you're kind of developing these newer characters to introduce the fans to it too.
Well, I think we're developing newer characters, and then we're taking, you know, and sometimes you're going to see guys come in that we feel, you know, Samoa Joe that has, there's a value to the name and to working with that name, and it creates a buzz and has some excitement level to the name, and that's kind of part of bringing him in, right? I look at some of the more established talent that are coming in. It works on multiple levels for us to bring him in, because the younger guys that are trying to learn this business, working with a veteran is a way to grow exponentially when you're working. You know, when you're green and green, it's tough to learn from each other. And when you are in there with a guy with a lot of experience that can teach you, and that's when it really becomes more for you. So those guys are also helping to teach the younger guys. At the same point in time, they're engaging our fan base. And, you know, when the names and the you know, the excitement around that name works for us, we'll work with it that way. You know, sometimes I think people get caught up in the, well, this is what they do, and they can't get outside of that box. There's no written down thing that says we have to do something a certain way. And, you know, look, at sometimes talent come in and they go, I want to do this. And I say, well, that's not what we're looking to do. We want to do this. And, you know, we can either work together or we don't work together. But, We can kind of do what we want to do and figure it out as we go, and that's kind of what I'm doing with those things and seeing where the benefit is for everybody. What is the best way to do it?
Gotcha. All right, and lastly, just if maybe you can debunk the talk that's out there about Vince McMahon, quote, not being a fan of NXT. What's the perception of McMahon of NXT? How does he feel about NXT right now and how it's been able to be so successful and evolve and help kind of bridge the gap for developmental to the main roster?
Sure is spending a lot of money on something he doesn't like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm not sure if you guys are aware of it, but don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Right.
It's not all true. You know, look, talent is talent. And first and foremost, Vince is a promoter. If he looks at something and he says, this talent I can do something with, and I can promote, and I can make money with, and the company can make money with, and that guy can make a lot of money, man, he's all over it. And he's a big fan of NXT, and he's a big fan of what we do. He's a big fan of the people that watch it and all of it. And do we agree on you know, this guy's in NXT that I think are like, this is a phenomenal talent. He might think a little less of, I you know, that it's, that is what it is, but yeah, he's a, you know, to say Vince is not a fan of NXT is just ludicrous, and not accurate, even though sources say it's probably, you know, just a speculation, because sometimes talent come in and maybe things when they move to Raw or SmackDown aren't exactly what fans would like to see, or it's not exactly how they thought it would go, and then that becomes a change for them, you know. And
all right, thank you so much.
Yeah. Was that the last one?
That was the last one.
Thank you, everybody, for doing this today. I got to tell you, it's an exciting week. Exciting for NXT, exciting for the Cruiserweight Series, just exciting across the board. You know, this is just an amazing week again to be here in Dallas to hopefully break our own attendance record, to hopefully do, you know, close to 100,000 people in Dallas for WrestleMania, to be in the Hall of Fame the night before and honor the you know, people in our industry that have made contributions in some way to the enjoyment of our fan base is huge. NXT Friday night, I'll just quickly say that I was just over at the Kay Bailey, I got a lot going on today, arena, and it's just an amazing place. You know, I'm looking at pictures, the Beatles played there in 64, Elvis played there, Led Zeppelin did their last domestic tour there. I mean, it's just amazing, phenomenal, in the round, 10,000 seat venue that is just gonna, I mean, the roof is going to come off that place Friday night, and I can't wait. I just took a tour of Access. It's amazing. The fan in me is just like a giddy kid in that place, walking around, and, you know, it's just an amazing time, and I thank you all for being a part of it and being here, or at least watching and helping us get the word out and talking about it, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.